Our third presenter, Ruth Weta Hall. Yeah, come on up. Is an assistant professor and vice chair of the Department of Preventive Medicine and Public Health at the University of Kansas School of Medicine in Wichita. She's a registered nurse holding master's degrees in nursing administration and public health and a PhD in community psychology. She teaches courses in public health administration, program evaluation, and performance improvement in the KUSM MPH program. In her role as faculty, Ruth mentors MPH students through their capstone experience, and this presentation is a product of a student capstone.
Thank you very much. Well, blah, blah, blah. Actually, the real star of this presentation is the student, Dan Partridge. When we submitted this, we didn't know H1N1 was going to happen. He's the administrator of the Lawrence Douglas County Health Department, and that is where the University of Kansas is located. So they are extremely busy. So I'm going to do my best. Of course, I was chair of his capstone, but he really was a terrific student, did most of this work on his own with just a little bit of support on his statistics. So, you know, everyone remains focused on the 10 essential public health services, and that was the focus of his capstone. He looked at the differences in findings between the Pacific Northwest and Kansas, and then he also outlines some implications for environmental health practice. And this is, Dan is very passionate about this topic in that environmental health appears to become more increasingly separate from the remainder of public health, and he thinks that has been to the detriment of the environmental health workforce. So he also believes that training and education for environmental health workers, it's not adequate. It needs to have a lot more science-based and more principles of public health involved. In addition, he really, he is a sanitarian, and so he really understands the type of training that the different practitioners receive and believes that there needs to be a lot more emphasis on the essential services. Also, he did a really huge lit review looking at how the environmental health workforce is decreasing, and we're not recruiting young people into the field, and they're not necessarily have the right educational background to really perform well in the field. Let's look at this. So again, everyone, I'm sure, very familiar with the 10 public health services for environmental health, and they parallel those for public health in general, with that emphasis on the environment. And all of these, the reason this is so important, this is actually the survey that was used follows and assesses the public health essential services. So what he did was he used an instrument that had been developed by Carl Ozaki out at in the, Washington State. And what he did was he went to one of his environmental health meetings in the state and, you know, distributed the survey and took the data that was collected in Kansas and compared that to the data that Mr. Ozaki had collected among the states in the Pacific Northwest. But Mr. Ozaki's methodology was no more than two people in any health department would complete that. So there was a varying sample from each state naturally based upon the number of environmental health units that you had available. And so we ended up collapsing the combining all of the Pacific Northwest states into one group so that we could have adequate sample size to run our chi-squares tests. Oh, well, there you go, everything I just talked about. But really, Mr. Ozaki, I think it was a really well done survey. He had four items for each competency. And what Dan did was to collapse or pool the data for each competency into one category. But again, Mr. Osaki, when he designed it, he used the yes, no, unsure response. So when you look at the demographic characteristics, you can see that in terms of gender, race, and years of experience, the two groups were similar. However, there were more frontline employees in Kansas, and so that was one difference we saw. And then secondarily, also the units, the environmental health units, have fewer employees in Kansas. So when you begin looking at each one of the different competencies, Dan identified these differences in terms of the folks in Washington State felt that they were, their unit was not completely competent in this essential service. And with the same being in mobilizing community partnerships and developing policies and plans that support individual and community efforts. Then when we look at the last set, you can see that, again, there were more employees who responded that they did believe that their agency was competent to enforce laws and regulations. Much more greater feelings of competence in the Pacific Northwest. And when you look at linking people to needed environmental health services, again, flipped back to the other way. So, in essence, Dan, when he looked at the results, he felt that part of the explanation for the differences would be that job class explained some of the differences in that the frontline workers reported that they practiced the essential services more frequently than supervisors. He felt part of this might be due to training, understanding of the competencies, believed that because there were more supervisors in the Pacific Northwest group, that they may have had a better understanding and therefore had a more fair interpretation of what a competency is. And again, he links this back to the fragmentation and the privatization of environmental health services. And again, the loss of experienced practitioners and leaders, the separation of environmental health from general public health services. And we all have the same problem, not enough funding. And then he's a strong believer in credentialing, a strong believer. He collected that in the Kansas sample and did a separate analysis, but Mr. Osaki, it wasn't built into his instrument, so we couldn't make that comparison, but we did see some differences in those who were credentialed versus not credentialed in the Kansas population. And then naturally, there may not be the right environmental health degree programs. I mean, we're attempting to recruit a PhD level environmental scientist, to our program, which, and there just aren't, there are not very many. So lastly, in terms of limitations, naturally the fixed response, yes, no, unsure, that could have introduced some bias, and actually this recall bias, that went in the other presentation, but I neglected to pull that out. And our thought after completing this is that to get away from so much unsure, which we eliminated from the analysis because we felt that it washed out the information. So we recommended going to like a Likert scale with highly agree, highly disagree. And then naturally, since we had two different methodologies for participation, that could have introduced some bias as well. So at the end of the day, we decided, you know, this is a beginning, a descriptive analysis that may lead to further efforts. And he believes strongly in having the performance measures in place. That was another item that he added to the survey. And then naturally, more training, and to look at some way, we're using some of this information to help further develop the MPH program. And naturally, he wants that credential status. He wants that in place. And then finally, this publication inspired him to actually pursue this survey. And so he has used this extensively, not only in his own health department, but he is really becoming a leader within our state and is really promoting the national strategy to revitalize environmental services. And of course, there was no financial relationship whatsoever. So if you have, and I would act, I forgot to put Dan's email address, but if you just Google Lawrence Health Department, he really is a fabulous person to visit with, because my expertise is not in environmental health, of course. So, questions? No. Okay.
A question. Or maybe just an observation. Mm-hmm. The surveys that you did seems like they're based on self-perception, so mm-hmm. that's part of what explains the difference between
yes.
the Pacific Northwest and mm-hmm. Kansas. Is there any way to actually measure mm-hmm. What's actually happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
so that you could have an expert
yes.
come in and actually break the door.
Yeah, actually, that is, I do quite a bit of evaluation research, and this, at the end of a 5-year, most of it is about money. It costs money to do the observation, but we did that with a burn disaster continuing education program, where we finally got the practitioners who ran it to, we would like to see, is there any correlation between their perceived competency and their actual competency. And actually, we only had a sample of about 100. They had not as many people participate, but it turns out for this population, maybe if we had more, it would have meant more, but we didn't have a correlation between perceived competency and actual competency. Actually, they rated themselves lower than they actually performed. So. That I guess that would be the long answer to a good question. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.